Brothers and sisters, in the many times that I have spoken from this pulpit in a general conference of the church, being a missionary, I have usually spoken to try and convince the non-member of the church that we have the only true church upon the face of the earth today, not the wisdom of men, but recommitted direct from heaven by heavenly messengers. Today, as I thought of what I would like to say, I thought I would like to speak to the inactive members of this church, those who ought to be active, because many of them come from good Latter-day Saint families, and then to those of you who have inactive members in the church. The Lord, speaking through Moses, said, "For this is my work and my glory to bring to pass the immortality and the eternal life of man." Then the Lord should provide a way for those of us, his spirit children, to know what his program is in order to be able to obtain immortality and eternal life. And that's the mission of this great church. And I think that many of our people don't really know just what the church stands for. Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, for they are they which testify of me." And then, speaking of those who would come time of his return to the earth, he said, and many would come and say, "Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" And then he would say to them, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." And when John the Revelator was banished upon the Isle of Patmos, and the voice from heaven said, "Come up hither, and I will show you that which must be hereafter," the angel of the Lord showed John many wonderful things. He showed him the coming of a new heaven and a new earth, when there be no more sickness, and no more pain, and no more death, where we no more need the sun by day, nor the moon by night, for the glory of God would be upon the earth. When no man would say, "Know ye the Lord," for every man would walk in the light of the Lord his God. And when John saw all of that, he wanted to kneel down and worship the angel who showed it to him. And the angel said, "See thou do it not, for I am but one of the brethren of the prophets, like unto thyself." And then the angel showed him the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and every man was judged according to the things written in the books, according to their works. And death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. And then he said, "Blessed and holy are they who have part in the first resurrection, for over the such hath the second death no power, but they shall become priests unto the Most High God, and shall rule with him forever." Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing, to be worthy to come forth in the morning of the first resurrection? But the angel didn't leave it there. He said, "But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years are ended." Is there any man with his clear thinking that would want to gamble on being left in his grave 1,000 years when the Son of Man shall come in the clouds of heaven with all the holy angels, and those who've died in him shall be brought forth from the grave, and those who are living in him shall be caught up in the air and changed in the twinkling of an eye. I like the statement of the philosopher Cicero. He said he was much more interested in the long hereafter than he was in the brief present. Today, in our natural routine and patterns of life, our children go to school as we did for 12 to 20 years to learn how to have a richer life here in mortality, that we could earn a better living, that we could enjoy the cultural and the refined things of life. If it's worth spending 12 to 20 years to prepare for a life of 75 to 100 years, what is it worth to prepare for a life that never ends? In the Book of Mormon, we're told that this life is the time to prepare to meet the Lord. And I think we ought to be more interested in the long hereafter than we are in just the brief present. I wonder if you ever stopped to figure how long that long hereafter really is. You may have probably heard me tell this before, but when my wife and I had been married 35 years, I said, "Mommy, what do you think we'll be doing in 35 million years from today?" She said, "Where'd you get that crazy idea? Makes me tired to think of it." I said, "Well, you believe in eternal life, don't you?" I said, "In the Book of Mormon, we're told that time is measured only to man, that with God, there isn't such a thing as time. It's one eternal round." And the prophet Joseph illustrated it by taking a ring. He said, "When you cut it, there's a beginning and there's an end. But as long as you don't cut it, there's no beginning and there's no end." I said, "Now, Mother, if you believe that, you and I ought to be pretty well acquainted with each other in 35 million years from today." Isn't that what Cicero meant when he said he was much more interested in the long hereafter than he was in the brief present? During the ministry of the Savior, he gave us many parables and statements to prepare us for his second coming, when he would come in power to reign upon the earth. I'd like to give you one or two to remind you. I give you first his parable of the talents. You remember about the man who went on a far journey and gave to his servants his talents. To one he gave five, to another two, to another one. And after a time, he returned to hold accounting with those servants. And the one who had been given five talents said, "See, five talents thou gavest unto me. I have won other five talents. Thou hast that which is thine," and gave him the 10 talents. And the master said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." Wouldn't that be wonderful to be made ruler over many things? "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." The one who had received 2 talents, we don't all get the same, won other 2 talents, and he got the same plaudits for faithfulness over his 2 talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent, he hid it in the earth. He said, "I knew you were a hard master, that you gathered where you hadn't strawn and reaped where you hadn't sowed. So I hid your talent so I could return it to you. And what did the master say? Take away from the unprofitable servant even that which he has received, and give to him who hath the 10 talents. For he that hath, unto him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has received. And cast the unprofitable servant out into utter darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Would anybody like to look forward to that time that never ends, that long hereafter, and be assigned where there would be gnashing of teeth and so forth? Now I give you another of the Savior's parables to prepare for his coming, and that's the parable of the 10 virgins. And you remember, 5 of them took oil in their lamps, and 5 of them had no oil. And when the call came, the bridegroom cometh, the 5 with oil went to meet him. The others wanted to borrow, but there was not enough to share, so they went to purchase oil. The ones with oil went in to the wedding feast, and the others, when they returned, the doors were already closed. Why do you think Jesus gave us a parable like that if he didn't feel the need of inactivity coming into activity in his church? The next one I give to you is the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. You remember how Lazarus ate the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, and when he laid in sores, the dogs licked his sores, and then the rich man and Lazarus both died. And Lazarus went over into the bosom of Abraham, that is, he was received with honor. And the rich man went into, he went where it was bad. I'm getting old. So then the rich man looked up and saw is in torment. That's the word I wanted. The rich man looked up and saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, and he cried out, I pray thee, Father Abraham, that thou wouldst permit Lazarus to come and dip his fingers and touch my parched lip, because I thirst in this torment. And Father Abraham said, not so. There is a gulf between you and him, and where you are he cannot come. And then the rich man's thoughts turned to earth, where he had 5 brothers. He said, I pray thee then, Father Abraham, that thou wouldst send Lazarus back to the earth, that he might warn my brothers, lest they come into this torment. And Father Abraham said, not so, for they have Moses and the prophets, and if they heed not the prophets who are sent unto them, they would not heed, though one were to come to them from the dead. Now, Jesus didn't give us all those beautiful parables for nothing, and he said, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, him will I liken unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And when the storms came and the wind blew and beat upon that house, it stood because it was built upon a rock. But he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, him will I liken unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sands. And when the storms came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, it fell because it was built upon the sand. Who'd want to build their house upon the sand so that it would not stand the storms of adversity and so forth? That's my plea here today. You remember the words of the prophet Jeremiah? He said the day would come when it should no longer be said, as sure as God lives, who led Israel up out of Egypt, but so sure as God lives, who hath gathered Israel from the four quarters of the earth. And he would send for many fishers, and they would fish them, and for many hunters, and they would hunt them from the hills and from the mountains and from the holes in the rocks. That's that 30 million Mormon missionaries scattered throughout the world, gathering in scattered Israel. And then Jeremiah said, "Turn unto me, O backsliding children, for I am married unto you." What a covenant! Isn't it wonderful to think that if we'll heed the promptings of the Holy Spirit, it'll be like a relationship of being married unto them. Jeremiah adds, "And I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors after mine own heart, and they shall teach you with knowledge and with understanding. Search your histories of the world, and you can't find anywhere where people have been gathered, one of a city and two of a family, like they have to these valleys of the mountains, and where they have been given by God the Eternal Father pastors after his own heart, such as you've listened to here in this conference today, and you will on the morrow." Now that's my testimony to you, and I pray God to keep each of you, keep you and your families with the harness on using your gifts and talents for the building of our Father's kingdom, and leave you my love and blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.